to see each one here this evening. We desire your prayers. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read a little there, and then we'll turn to some other places. And before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. You've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that we would not take that blessing for granted. Help us to serve you more in the future than we have in the past. Help us, Father, that we'd be the light in this world that you'd have us to be. And help us to have a great zeal for lost souls. So many around us are dying and lifting their eyes in hell. And Father, we know that it's your church that has that obligation to share your word with others. And Father, we pray that we would while there's time and opportunity. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now before we read on, I want to make a few statements about what we've read thus far about Israel and them coming out of Egypt. Notice how they were all baptized the same way. They all received the same word of God. They all, even you can say physical food, they received the same manna from above. They received the same water, that rock being Jesus, of course, pointing to him. But they ate the same spiritual meat as well as the physical. And so as you look at that, you would think, well, they'd all be the same. They would all be identical. You know, our world likes to say that if you could just get people with the same opportunities as somebody else, they'd end up the same. Anybody that'd look into a family would know different. I mean, how many people had the same upbringing growing up, same parents and same everything, but did they all turn out the same? They all made their own choices, didn't they? As we all do, in the same way with the Israelites, and there's things to learn from that. But they were overthrown in the wilderness. And he says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play." Well, that sounds like our world today, doesn't it? They sit down to eat, drink, and then they rise up and just want to play. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication. As some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000 people died in one day for that. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And that's the place we wanted to get to in verse 12. He said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." It's easy for us to get to the place that we think that we're more than what we are. And sometimes we think that we're stronger than somebody else, or even worse yet, better than somebody else. And when we get to that place, and I know that we'll deal with the sin of pride that this is also dealing with, we'll get into pride another night, another time. But the main thought tonight is just thinking more about ourselves than we should. You know, a lot of the people in the New Testament times, even today, they yell to the top of their lungs, and y'all probably come across some of these, "We're under grace, we're under grace." And I'm going, I sure do wish y'all would go and read some place in Hebrews and read over in Romans chapter 11, among many other places, even some back in the Gospels where Jesus spoke about different things. But we're told not to be high-minded, but fear. If God didn't spare the natural branches, why do we think that He's going to be any different with us? If God didn't spare Israel, and you look, there's three different things that He talked about in here. Talked about destroyed by the destroyer. He talked about being destroyed of serpents. He talked about 23,000 falling in one day because of their fornication. And a lot of times we think, well, we're just good however we are, and God's all about love, and He's all about mercy, and I'll preach His mercy and love all the day long. But if you don't deal with the fact that God is a righteous and holy God, you're going to miss a whole lot of who God is. And when we get lifted up to think, well, I'm better than those that came before me, or I won't make the same mistakes that they made. Y'all ever hear people even talk about some people sin and say, well, I would never. Be careful with that. By the grace of God, I won't. As long as I have fear of sin and keep my eyes upon the Lord, I won't. But I tell you what, it does not take long to get outside of the will of God in your heart. It doesn't take long at all. Some people even look at times, they say, well, Peter, he shouldn't have taken his eyes off the Lord. And I'm sitting there looking at Peter going, I didn't see any of the other men even getting off the boat and stepping out onto the water. To me, I look at that as Peter had more faith than the rest of them did. Bid me come unto thee. How many of us would have stepped on water? It's easy to criticize people and it's easy to find fault with people. But we need to be very careful with that. Let's look at a couple of places. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, I know some very familiar reading of Scripture. For the sake of time, I'm just going to try to quickly go through some of this. But the Apostle Paul says here, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, it'd be a good study sometime if you'll ask the question, what was He apprehended for? What is He saved for? And what are we saved for? There's purposes we've been saved for. There's things that God wants to accomplish in our life. He's not talking about salvation. Salvation is a gift of God through Christ. But we've been saved for a purpose, and He wanted to make those purposes, make those things that God had wanted. Therefore, He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. There's a prize that He was pushing toward, wasn't He? Something special. Again, I'm not preaching on that. That's not the subject. But notice what He dealt with. He said, I counted all the things that I knew beforehand as dung, as loss. That's an amazing statement to make. Let's keep that in mind. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll pick up in verse 18. It says here, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Let me ask this question. Paul came from a highly educated background. And if you look at the Pharisees and the scribes, they could quote to you, most of them could, if not all of them, could quote to you the entire Old Testament. Could quote it. It's not like they didn't read it. And they read it again and again and again to the point that they could quote every single last word of it. If you said you want a Bible, they could just start writing it down for you by hand. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Let me ask you this, how many of them trusted Christ? Not many of them, did they? Most of them rejected Him. I know there's some that did believe, but a lot of them rejected Christ, didn't they? The most biblically knowledgeable people of that day, the most highly educated of the Jews, who could quote the entire Old Testament, the entire Word of God at that time to you, couldn't understand salvation. Couldn't understand the very basic thing. And you'll see that with Christ, that amazed Him many times. Why do you not understand my speech? Well, some of the things that Jesus would say to them. He would tell them, you think you have eternal life, but that word testifies of me. He said, you need to search the Scriptures. But as much as they could quote it, they trusted in their own intellect. And worse, they trusted in their own righteousness for salvation. That's damaging, isn't it? Let me ask this question. Do you think we deal with any of that in our day and time? I had somebody tell me not too long ago, a young person, came up to me and said, well, it was easier to believe in God years ago. I said, how do you figure? He said, well, it was just a different world. Well, they didn't have all the knowledge we have today. I said, do you know that science has proven more of a young earth creation in the past 20 years than it ever did in our grandparents' day and time? I said, do you know that the evidence for Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt, I said, they literally, by all the archaeology that had been done in their time, they had nearly zero evidence of Moses existing. I said, we have more evidence today than they had. I said, but fewer people trusting. You know why? We trust our intellect. We trust our own mind. And let's be honest about it. We trust what the so-called experts have told people. Well, I read this in a book at school. Well, they told me this at college. It must be the right thing. There's been a lot of falling away from the Lord because people have trusted things other than the Word of God. Do you know what made the difference with people trusting in the Lord years ago? They believed the Word of God above everything else. They became fools in the eyes of this world so that they could be wise in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they did. And a lot of people today, even preachers, are concerned about how they look in the eyes of men and how people that have degrees and all this other stuff look at us. I tell you, we need to be more concerned about how God looks at us. And we get so high-minded and people think, oh, we know more, we know better, and all these things. No, that's getting high-minded. That's trusting in your own intellect and your own ability. I trust the Word of God. I depend on the Word of God. And that's what Paul is telling people here. He says, there's times you might need to become a fool so that you might be wise. A fool by whose standards? A fool in this world's standards, not a fool according to the Word of God. That's following the Word of God, getting wisdom from His Word and following Him. But by the world, that might be foolishness. But you know what hinders even a lot of lost people from trusting Christ? They trust their intellect. They trust their ability. They trust their experience. They trust all these other things, and they have themselves higher than they really are. That does a lot of damage. Well, let's turn over to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If you think you're better than the person that was overtaken in a fault, and we know there's a difference between somebody being overtaken in a fault, committing a sin, versus somebody that's just living in that sin. We know there's a difference. But somebody overtaken in a fault, if you think, well, they committed this, therefore I'm more righteous, I'm more holy than they, how can you help them? You can't. You can't. But those that are spiritual and know that they are capable of sin and they are capable of wrong without the help of God, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're capable of doing all kinds of things. And so we need to consider thyself, he said, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let me read that verse again. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Do we all know that we're nothing without God? You know, Paul made the statement one time. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." He didn't put a whole lot of stock in himself, did he? He put his trust in Christ. But if we start saying, "Well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do these things." You get into a place where you can fall very quickly. And it's not always meaning you're going to fall in the same sin that somebody else did. But I'll tell you this, hypocrisy and self-righteousness, Jesus dealt with that a whole lot in Scripture. When we're prideful, when we're lifted up, and we think that we're better than somebody else, God can't use us. But when we're humble, when we're meek, when we understand that we're just a sinner and our mindset is God, our mindset is God, without your help, I would be in the same boat. I would fail. God, help me. We're in a different place. He says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another." And look, when we do follow the Lord, when we do trust Him, and trust in His Word, not depend upon our flesh, but depend upon what God has given us, we can lay up some good works. We can lay up some treasure in heaven, and we do have rejoicing in that. But it doesn't need to be where it leads to pride. That's not where it would be intended for us to go. We're going to turn back to Romans chapter 1. Just read one verse here. In verse 22, it talks about the world. Those of you who know your Bibles, you know that he basically gives an old crash course of history of what happened. That man was in the garden, man walked with God, Adam and Eve, and even it seems like with Adam and Eve's children, they got to hear from God some. And you go through and you can look at some of that in Scripture, how they heard audible voice of God. And but yet, as time went on, they didn't like God who He was. I mean, you really go back to Cain. I mean, he didn't like the offering that God had set up. Of course, that offering was to point to Christ. And he didn't like that, so he offered the fruit of his labor. He offered the work of his hands. And God said, "I'm not accepting that." You know why? If we say, "Look at what I've done," that's pride. That's lifting up in ourselves. And that was the real problem with Cain, is Cain said, "Well, I'm better than my brother. I'm just as good as my brother, if not better than him. How dare his offering be accepted and mine not?" Where did that problem start with? thinking more of himself than he should have thought? But he goes on down and talks about man and how they created gods unto themselves, and their foolish heart was darkened. And in verse 22 of Romans chapter 1, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, do you know who he's talking about here? He's talking about people that were used to build things like pyramids all across the world. We think about pyramids, we think about Egypt, but there was pyramids in South America. There was really types of pyramids over in Asia, wasn't there? There was a lot of different things. As far as worldly intelligence, these people had that. They said, look at the intelligence. Look how smart we are. Look how great we are. But in holiness and righteousness and godliness, they were way off, weren't they? They were way off. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And not in a good way. Definitely the complete opposite of what you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They saw themselves wise by earthly standards, but they were foolish in the eyes of God. While we as God's people might seem foolish to the world, but be wise in the eyes of God, there's a big difference. We'll turn one other place, Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Does it say that we're to think nothing of ourselves? That's not what it said. It said you don't think more of yourselves than you ought to think. I can say this, I know certain talents that I possess and have. Do you? I know things that I can do pretty well at. But just because I can do well at some things doesn't mean I'm smart in everything. We have that problem in the world today. Have y'all ever noticed that? If a person is successful at one thing in life, he thinks he should be successful at everything in life. Sometimes we see that by athletes and movie stars and even businessmen, that they say, well, I was successful in this place in life, so y'all need to elect me to some office. Or I can tell you how to vote or how to think or how to do things. You should all think my way. But you ever met somebody that's real successful at some things in life, but really dumb at other things in life? Just because you're smart at one thing doesn't make you smart at everything. I have to remember that. Even as a minister, there's times I say, well, I know a lot of things in God, therefore I can know some other things. No, that doesn't mean I'm great at politics, and it doesn't mean that I'm great at business or other things. I need to stick to what I'm good at. I need to focus on the things that I'm good at. And I also need to know that other people are good at things too. There are people that can teach me things. And it helps you to remain humble when you know that. Look, if I go to a mechanic to get worked on my car, I'm going to listen to his advice. I'm going to trust his expertise on the area he's good at. If I go to a doctor's office, I'm going to trust their expertise. If they tell me I need surgery, if they tell me that, you know, we've x-rayed your chest and you've got pneumonia or whatever, I'm going to trust their expertise. I really do. Now, again, I think that you need to do some common research on anything and get second opinions and things of that nature. I'm not trying to say don't, but I will say this. I'm going to be looking to a mechanic when I got car problems. But for spiritual things, I'm going to look to those who are spiritual. And even to say this, I've met people that might not have studied everything in the Scripture like I've studied it, but yet they've had to put it into practice every day of their life. And there is a lot to be said about somebody having to put faith into practice. When I see somebody that is putting some faith into practice, I don't care what their education level is. I don't care if they can quote Scripture back to me. They've learned something with God by giving it over to Him and trusting Him with it. It might do well for me to listen to them. And I've tried to do that over the years. But if I get lifted up in pride and say, well, I read that Scripture, or I've studied it, well, I've read this book on it, yeah, I'm getting too high-minded to where I can't learn anything. And that's not a good place to be. There are many that sometimes get to the place that they think more of themselves than they ought to think. Do you know this goes into so many levels and so many places? You ever seen somebody that might even know some things on a job site, but they have no compassion? They have no an ability to teach others? You ever seen somebody that somebody makes a mistake, and they might have made the same mistake when they were young or when they were a rookie on the job, so to speak, but they have no compassion and they don't desire to teach the other person that's young or new on the job? They've gotten high-minded, haven't they? They've let themselves get to a place where they're above where they need to be in their head. They're thinking more of themselves than they ought to think. And sometimes somebody might come around and say, well, I do that a little different than you do. And instead of saying, well, tell me what you're doing, and let me see how that works, let me listen, they say, no, my way's the only way. That's all that's going to go. That's not good. I'll say this. I've known how to do some things in construction for a long time. I've watched my papa do it. I've watched my daddy do it. And there's some things that I've got stuck in my head that this is the way it's got to be done. But you know, over the years, I've watched other people work, and I said, well, I'd have never thought to do it that way. I've seen people do things just a little bit different. It wasn't that one way was wrong and one way was right. It's that sometimes you find maybe a better way to do something. But if we get lifted up and think more of ourselves than we ought to think, we can't grow, we can't learn. That's not good. And it's one of the worst qualities that human beings have. It even a lot of times gets into a relationship. It gets into relationships of husband and wife. Well, my wife can't tell me anything. I know what I'm supposed to do here. I know how I'm supposed to work. Look, I wouldn't have married my wife if I didn't want her advice every now and then. Now, there's times when I think, well, she doesn't know exactly what's going on here, and she just needs to let me get this job done. There's times that needs to happen. But there's also times that I need to listen for a minute and say, wait a minute, she might have a different point of view of how to handle this, that God might be giving her some wisdom that I might need to listen to. But if we think more of ourselves than we ought to think, we don't listen, we don't have compassion, we don't have a teachable spirit, we get high-minded, we get hard-hearted, and we become very unprofitable. I'm glad that Paul was able to do one of the hardest things that it is for a human being to do. He let go of everything he knew so that he could learn Christ. That's an amazing thing. Most of us have a hard time letting go of what mama taught us or daddy taught us or what we heard from this preacher or that preacher and not even come back to the Scriptures and say, wait a minute, was that true or not? The authority is God's Word. That's the authority. And Paul said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let go of everything that I learned as a scribe, as a Pharisee, everything that I knew. He said, I'm going to let go of that so that I can start over from scratch and learn what God wants me to be. There are very few people that ever learn how to do that. And the reason they don't is we think more of ourselves than we ought to think. We think more of our experience. We think more maybe of our education. We think more of so many other things. Of course, in our modern day and time, a lot of people have gotten high-minded because they say, well, I looked that up on Google. Yeah, Google can be wrong. Even experts can be wrong, as been pointed out in the Scripture. We need to learn to listen to God and trust Him. You know, in our day and time, sometimes people ask, they say, why do you believe in an infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God? And some people say, well, you know, this Bible has this fault. They go through a whole list of things and say, look, I believe God said He would keep His Word, and I believe He has. I can go through a whole lot of educational stuff with you if you want to. I can go through some things from the 1800s, and I can go through a lot of the different things of going through the Byzantine text, the received text, the Alexandrian text. I can do a whole lot of things with you, but it all comes down to this. I, by faith, believe that God preserved His Word. It doesn't have to be highly educated to go by. It just is a work of faith. Well, you know, how do you believe that God created the world? Well, I learned this, and I went to this museum, and I heard this, and I read this book, and I... So you trust in your intellect and what other men said over what God said. Now, that might seem foolish to the world. It might get me called different names, or you called different names, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, I'll die with this. I believe God above everybody else. Let God be true and every man a liar. And people say, well, that's simplistic. And I will say to the world, that might sound simplistic and it might seem easy. But let me tell you, it's very hard, because I can tell you this, I'm also an intellectual type person. Especially when it comes to numbers and math of that type. I used to get joy out of beating my teachers in algebra class, beating them in how fast we could go through equations. But you know what I've learned? It is a whole lot better to trust God than man. You have to let go of some things to get there. You have to stop trusting yourself and start trusting God. You know what I've also learned also? That when I preach something and somebody questions it, you know what's my number one thing to do when I get home? Is go back and restudy it from scratch. To assume that I'm right and assume somebody else is wrong without even going back and looking at the Scriptures and studying it, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Say, preacher, but you know it. Doesn't matter. I should always be willing to go back and look at the Scripture as the authority and really see if I'm right or not. The Scripture has the answer. The Scripture is the authority. Not me. And dear friend, if we could let go of so much that might be hindering us, I don't know what might be hindering you if you're here and lost. I don't know what might be hindering you as a saved person from growing in the Lord and being what God would have you to be. But I know this, when we think more of ourselves than we ought to think, and we trust our intellect and our ability over the Word of God, we really become the fools then. But God said, let you become a fool in this world, that you might be wise in the eyes of God. And that's where I pray that we get to do other than that. To rely on our intellect and to rely on ourselves or our experience. Whether people realize it or not, that is a great sin. That many people have compromised Scripture over and compromised the truth over and have fallen to many even damnable heresies because they went by what they thought, what they feel, what their education led them to, instead of trusting what thus saith the Word of God. And I pray that we follow the Word of God and trust in Him. and follow Him by faith. This is the burden that God has given to us. If you would have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.